You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Kent Gay West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, sitting here with Peacemaker Kevier West and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Our inspector is out on bereavement and will not be joining us tonight as we continue to lift him with, you know, positive thoughts and prayer. Godspeed, Albert Inspected. Guys, how's it going? Kevier West, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, fellas. What's up? I just caught up on my wrestling for the week, and it's been, you know, a long Thanksgiving weekend for us over here. And, yeah, just like you said, but echoing your thoughts going out to Albert and everybody, from everybody on the ship. And then, but I watched a bunch of wrestling and not so much football.
Christian, are you caught up on all the wrestling, my friend? How are you doing?
Well, the minute I didn't hear you talking, I thought something must have happened, so I was stalling for you. I was doing the disclaimer for tonight's show. I thought I was hosting, but something obviously happened, so I was stalling for you. So.
Always ready, yes, I appreciate it. And, something was going on there. We were on the line, and then all of a sudden everything got cut off. I couldn't get back on for a second. Finally, I was on, and luckily you guys were here. I mean, if you guys wouldn't have been here, it would have been total chaos and madness even. So, guys, we continue the show tonight on this November 30th, 2021, that is. So, Kevier, what are you drinking? What are you drinking back there, my friend?
That was Christian. Sounded like he's drinking soda pop.
Some soda pop.
I've got Yingling.
Mm. Oh, man, Yingling, one of my favorite beers. Oh, man, Yingling. And, I was talking to Kevier a little while ago, and, you know, I mean, I'm drinking water right now, guys. Water, can you believe that? I mean, I'm doing a heel turn.
Water is like an awesome drink, though. I had some of that. You seen that Liquid Death?
No, I've not heard of that one.
You might check it out, buddy, because if you can't drink right now and you have to drink water right now, they sell this stuff. You can get it at Specs and like liquor stores, and it's just water in cans, and it's like it like gives you the sensation of drinking a beer, but it's like just fancy water.
Hmm.
It's like super gangster can too.
Nice. I might check that out. But yeah, right now, you know, my health is not allowing me to drink the good beer, the little bit of the bubbly, so to speak.
Yeah.
But we continue, and I'll pound some waters while I'm doing the show. Though I'll be pissing all night, but I digress.
Yeah, you have to take out those toxins out of your body.
There you go. And then that could be what it is. That could be exactly what it is. So, moving on with the show, guys. This day in history, brought to you by the retro thing. I think we've got a little retro stuff going on here, maybe. So retro time. Take it back. Yeah. 24 years ago, guys, ECW presented November to Remember. This was in Monrocca, Pennsylvania, from the Golden Dome in Monrocca, Pennsylvania. A then record of 4,694 fans were in attendance, with another 80,000 homes watching on pay-per-view. Now, this, I'm not too sure, but I think this was original AEW. I don't think this was the, and we'll get this with Christian. He'll tell us for sure.
ECW.
I mean, ECW, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. Already correcting me. But, yeah, I think this was the original ECW and not the, you know, rehashed ECW that Vince McMahon put together in the early 2000s.
The real reason why people get this confused is because they're confusing it with December to Dismember, because
there
it sounds almost the same.
November to Remember Day, that's what it is. You're right. You're absolutely right. So we had the dark match was Chris Ketty and Spike Dudley defeat Aaron O'Grady and Paul Diamond. Bunch of guys I've heard of Paul Diamond. Was he one of the guys that all turned into a horseman for some crazy reason? Was he one of them?
No, I don't think so. I think he was just a jobber for ECW. It wasn't really that important.
Bros, I have a horseman video. And, man, I had to stop watching it at the end because some guy I had never even heard of, I can't even remember his name to this day. I couldn't even finish watching the video when I saw that this guy, they turned him into a horseman. I'm like, what the hell happened to the horseman? Yeah, they turned into a bunch of madness at the end, man. I'm almost ashamed to say I was a fan of him.
Which guy? Mondo McMichael?
No, it was another guy. Maybe his name was Paul something or the dark-haired guy.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name, man. I always
say to this day, Mondo McMichael's the worst member of the Horsemen.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even believe that he was a Horseman either. I mean, that's talk about shark jumping. Also, we had Chris Candido and Lance Storm. Those are two names I know. Defeat Jerry Lynn and Tommy Rogers. Jerry Lynn, supposed to be an excellent wrestler. I don't think I've ever seen him perform live. You know much about Jerry Lynn? Anybody?
I've seen some cool Jerry Lynn matches.
Is that
Jerry
right?
Lynn and Lance Storm, actually. Yeah, Jerry Lynn and Lance Storm put on some pretty cool matches together in ECW. Some more popular matches. And I think RVD and Lance Storm have some like classics, too.
Yeah,
I mean, RVD and Jerry Lynn, I mean, I'm sorry.
He works for AEW right now. So he's one of the producers.
Jerry Lynn?
Yeah.
Sweet. We also had Mikey Whipwreck defeat Just Incredible. I remember that name.
Yeah.
I seem to remember the guy being a bit of a douchebag, too, but... up in the air. I don't completely remember. Something. Just Incredible. Taz defeated Pitbull number 2 in just 89 seconds to retain the ECW World Television Championship. Pitbull number 2. That means there had to be a Pitbull number 1, huh? Were they a tag team at the same time, or was it like there was a Pitbull 1 and then a Pitbull 2?
Yeah, they were a tag team. Pitbull, I don't know which one of them died, but one of them died. I think it was the bald one.
Pitbulls. The FBI, Little Guido and Tracy Smothers, defeat the Dudley Boys, Bubba Ray Dudley and Devon Dudley.
That sounds like an awful match.
Yeah, Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney. And the Gangstanators, which was John Cronus and New Jack. Oh, hell, New Jack.
Gangstanators.
In a 14 elimination match, guys, to retain the ECW World Tag Team Championship. First of all, the FBI Yeah. Little Guido
That's
and cool. Tracy Smothers.
The wrong team won in that one. If you want anybody to win, you either pick the Dudley Boys or fucking New Jack or the other guy, not fucking FBI. They're fucking awful.
Who was booking this shit? Was this Paul Heyman and then Paul Heyman's heyday?
Yeah,
wow.
Paul Heyman, yeah.
We had Rob Van Dam and Tommy Dreamer, who went to a no contest in an ACW versus WWF flag match, guys. Well, I guess they had some flags out there. Man, I might have to go back and look at this shit.
Wait a minute. How could a flag match go to a no contest?
I don't know, but that's what we say here. It went to a no contest in a flag match. I guess nobody was, I don't know, nobody waved the flag. Who knows what a flag match
Jericho
entails.
Jericho stuck the flag up his nose.
Sabu defeated the Sandman in a tables and ladders match, guys.
Yeah.
Sabu.
There was going to be pure insanity.
Yeah. Oh, it must have been. And then the Sandman and the Sabu, I guess both of them in their prime. Oh, man. It had to be wild. I remember
especially,
Sabu. I didn't like him. Just because I didn't like him doesn't mean he wasn't cool, though.
Especially if Sandman was really drunk that night, you know?
Yeah. I remember him being a drunk and shit, too. Like,
he was worse than Austin.
Yeah?
He's worse than Austin, like, back then. He was way worse. Like, the guy would drink every fucking night. He was bad.
Man, I'm beginning to find out, though, that a lot of these guys did that. Even one guy that I never really thought, and that guy, John freaking Cena. I'm starting to see stories and shit about him where he was drinking at the hotels and shit and getting everybody drunk and you know, everybody gets fucked up and nobody gets fucked up like John Cena. And it's like, really? Cena?
Well, of course, because the guy is a fraud. He's a fan to kids, but he's a total fraud.
I mean, I was shocked. I had no idea. He drank and shit to that extent. You know what I mean? While they're on the
road.
I've heard
some stories like that.
I was shocked. I just saw this shit last week while I was down. You know, I did a lot of, time with a lot of screen time, I should say.
Yeah.
A lot of screen time with the fucking phone and shit, watching YouTube's video stories on YouTube and shit. And yeah, I came across a lot of that shit. Shane Douglas defeated Bam Bam Bigelow to win the ECW World Heavyweight Championship.
Shane Douglas.
He would hold the championship, bro, for a company record 405 days before being defeated by Taz in January of 1999. He also has the second longest world title reign in ECW history, a 385-day run, spanning most of 1994 and part of 1995. Damn.
Shane Douglas believes his own fucking hype, all right? Shane Douglas was not a good... He was a good wrestler, but he thought he was a great wrestler. He didn't draw a fucking dime, okay? He is a believer of his own fucking hype, and he's the meanest motherfucker you would ever see. The guy constantly shoots on everybody. Interviews. He constantly shoots everybody. Guy's a rude motherfucker.
He looks like a bit of a...
I like that video where he debuts the Extreme Championship Wrestling. That's always a cool moment. And maybe it should have been somebody other than Shane Douglas doing it, but, like, it's still a cool moment.
If anything, it should have been RVD to do it.
Right.
So, nevertheless, it was Shane Douglas who picked up the win there and had the long reign, no less. So we had, let's see here, 23 years ago today on Nitro from Chattanooga, Tennessee, Bret Hart defeated Diamond Dallas Page by knockout to win the WCW United States Championship by knockout. What the hell kind of shit is this?
That is a first indicator on how they didn't know what the fuck to do with Bret Hart coming to WCW. That's the sign right there. Like, you know, we have this guy who was screwed at Montreal.
A great technical wrestler.
Well, yeah, debatable, but yeah. And the idiot breaks his hand punching Vince McMahon, and so he's off for like months until his hand recuperates. They finally sign this guy. He comes in, and he does. They don't know what the fuck to do with him. They honestly have no idea what to do with him, and that's the indicator right there.
This match?
Yeah.
So what kind of match was it? I understand Paige was champion going in. Was it a stipulation match? Or?
I had to have been either a last man standing match or something.
I'm skimming through the match right now, and I don't see anything that would indicate that they're inside the ring pretty much the whole time.
Well, it's a fucking mess, dude. WCW is a fucking mess. I don't remember anything in Bret Hart's fucking run, all right?
Uh-oh,
it was
there's
terrible.
The fucking giant. Now the giant's involved. Throwing fucking DDP over the rope inside the ring.
Yeah, when the giant was in the NWO again.
Yeah, it's another guy. Somebody else from the NWO is in there. I can't make him out. But yeah, so that's what we have here. Bunch of shit.
Yeah. The B team is the B team. What's his fucking name? Is Stevie Ray in that group? Because if he is, then it's the fucking B team.
No, he's not in the group, but the other guy turned out to be Bret Hart. The reason I didn't recognize him is because he's wearing ring gear that's totally different. Like, he's wearing black shorts and fucking, looks like he's wearing some Chuck Taylors or some Vans skate-type shoes.
Yeah, I know that.
So I didn't recognize who it was at first, but it turns out it's Bret Hart. It's Bret Hart on the Big Show. I mean, you know, the Giant.
Yeah.
So that was 23 years ago today. Oh, but on the undercard, we had Conan defeating Chris Jericho to win the World Television Championship.
Wow. This is
1998.
This was getting to the beginning of the end of Jericho, WCW, when he was going to leave. This was the beginning of the end.
I mean, honestly, he bailed. You know, a little, yeah, he would have been better off bailing earlier, but, you know, I understand contract reasons or whatever. But, WCW was shit at the time, dude.
Awful.
Jericho and WWE was the best. Like, that first run where he came to WWE, man, that's some of my favorite wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that was some great shit right there, bro. He jumped that shit just in time. I was marking out when he showed up. That was some great shit. 11 years ago today, guys, Celeste Bonin, also known as Caitlin, goes on to win NXT Season 3. This was back when they still had the black and yellow
awful
ropes
decision.
And shit.
Awful decision they made. Awful.
Man, who else was in the running on that one?
AJ Lee.
Oh, yeah, that was awful. But, you know, the reason they did that is because she was the winner in name only. They already had their prejudged winner with AJ Lee. I'm positive that this is how this played out. I mean, I'm just speculating.
They tried
to push her with the rub of the Season 3 win. But nevertheless, she was the rookie for Vicky Guerrero She herself, Caitlin herself, was an 11th hour replacement for Isis the Amazon.
Yeah.
When it was discovered by WWE that she had done some risque photo shoots. So of
Caitlin
course she would go on.
Texas natives. Caitlin's from Houston. I always rep Caitlin really hard because she's from Houston.
Yeah,
there
but that doesn't. But that doesn't change the fact that she fucking sucked.
She
okay?
was sick. Her spear was badass. Not only that, her spear was badass, and she was stacked, dude. She's like one of the most beautiful women they've ever employed. She's like super beautiful.
That doesn't change the fact that her promo skills were fucking trash. The fans didn't give a fuck about her. Fans couldn't give two fucks about it.
Caitlin was a Divas champion and stuff, too. But it didn't last long. I don't think her love was in wrestling because she obviously, like, dropped it like a bad habit and never looked back.
Well, what happened is she would go on to win the championship, the Divas championship with the, you know, cute little butterfly. Back in June 2013, and then she ended up leaving abruptly in the 2014 because she wanted to focus on her clothing line, which I've never heard of, but I wish her the best on that.
Yeah, and then there was a video of her showing her tits.
She threw a fit.
Really?
There was a video of her showing her tits and being naked, so...
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Well, she's more of a bodybuilder. She got way more into, like, bodybuilding stuff after wrestling. I know that. She, like, doesn't look like the same person anymore.
I had seen some covers of her on some bodybuilding magazines. It was, like, the nice type of bodybuilding. It wasn't, like, the all-cut bodybuilding. But I digress. Let's see here. Birthdays today. Yeah, big birthday today. Christian. Happy birthday to Christian.
Not me, by the way. Just
happy birthday. Happy birthday, Christian.
Yeah.
Not me, people. Disclaimer.
Yeah. Christian is actually June the 6th.
Yes.
Nice.
But Christian Rezzo, who is, Edge's brother, who, of course, we're going to talk about, in a little while. Edge reared his ugly face again. The Big Lion.
Rezzo, that's his name?
Yeah, R-E-S-O.
That sounds Italian.
William Jason Rezzo.
Oh, my God.
Rezzo, R-E-S-O.
That sounds Italian.
Are you racist against Italians, bro?
No, I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked he has that last name. Like, is he part Italian? Like...
Could be. But, you know the deal with Christian, man. Yeah, he's, of course, known for his time in, Canadian independent circuit. Of course, he had his longtime best friend, Christian, storyline brother, Adam Copeland, Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could go on. I got the story right here, but do we need to hear it?
No.
In fact, actually, it cuts short, too. This story only goes to 2016. Hey, shit. He's fucking had probably the better part of his career since then.
He's sick.
Totally. Yeah.
He's better than he's more believable than he's been in WWE the last few times. I know that.
Right? Those last WWE events he had were fucking bottom of the barrel, man.
Yeah. They fucking
turn
him heel.
For the dude.
They turn him heel, make him win the world title first, then they turn him heel for no reason whatsoever, then have him get another second world title run. The second one is more shit. And then he constantly loses like a fucking jobber. That run was garbage.
You know, man, I mean, but that's how Vince McMahon books these older cats. without seeing how much value they could add, you know, by putting people over and shit. You got to give them a win every now and again. But you don't have to give them a win against somebody big, you know. You can give them a win against somebody that's still up and coming. There's someone that's not even on the mid-card yet. But to put guys over on the mid-card, like, I mean, I just read a story, and it was about Matt Hardy. And he was talking about how, you know, they offered him an ungodly amount of money to stay at WWE. He said that they were going back and forth and shit, and he decided, you know, he wanted to go to AEW. So he was just going to let his contract run out. And then he said that WWE made a last-minute move and threw a bunch of money down on the table for him. And he was talking to Vince about it and shit, and Vince was wanting to use him as a freaking, you know, segment guy, as a producer. And Matt Hardy was like, you know, he feels like he still has something to contribute in the form of getting back in the ring. I mean, you know, it's debatable what he's doing right now, because he's really not doing anything. I mean, he's not doing what, you know, they should be doing with him. But I could see him having the good intention of still, I mean, you know, his kids are growing up. So, like, this is, his kids can see him and remember him now. I'm sure he wants to have some good matches and shit. Give him some good fucking matches. Book him in a more meaningful way. I mean, I'm surprised that they're not using him more in a better way. To me, it's like they're wasting him. The guy can still go.
Yeah, but you're forgetting one thing, Minister. He's getting fucking old. He could barely move.
I mean, I understand that. But, you know, let younger guys put him old. I mean, he puts over younger guys and shit. And you're still going to give him wins every now and again. You know, he'll have a win against, you know, I don't know, what these fucking characters that they have on Monday night, you know, or Tuesday night wrestling.
The way they're using some of these vets, I think the way they're using some of these vets, like Sting and Christian and stuff, is like they are putting guys over with them, but maybe not by having the guys beat them. More like by having them be like enforcers and like having younger guys' backs and stuff. And it like gives the younger guys credibility that way instead of them having to wrestle them, you know what I mean? That way they can kind of protect these veterans and just make them put the ass whooping on somebody every once in a while, backing up like Darby Allin or whoever, Jungle Boy or whoever the hell it might be, you know?
So, but I still got to agree with Matt Hardy though on his reasoning not to stick around, because he said that after having that conversation with Vince McMahon, that he knew once he signed that fucking deal that he was going to take him off the fucking wrestling and throw him backstage producer role. And he was like, nah, fuck that. I got to go. And I can't say I blame him, dude.
I don't know why his brother didn't agree to go with him, but, you know, that's on Jack.
You know, I mean, he fucking turned down an obscene amount of money is what he said, but, you know, at least he's happy. Fuck it. He didn't bitch himself out. He's still, his sons are still going to get to see him, you know, perform where they're going to be able to remember it, even if it's not against anybody memorable, which, I mean, you know, that's where I feel for the guy. They should do something, you know. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe, you know, once his brother gets there. But I digress. So let's move on with this shit. Other birthdays. Oh, yeah. Also today, the glow. Are you guys feeling the glow?
No.
Naomi. Naomi. It's her her birthday. When I think of Naomi, I think of Naomi and then what was the other one? Carmen? Or
Cameron.
Cameron, yes, there you go. I think of them walking out with, oh, that was some of my favorite stuff, man. Walking out with that fucking dinosaur dude.
Yeah.
And shaking that ass and rubbing their ass together as they come up. Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. But it's only Naomi now. It's only Naomi now. Everybody else is gone. But I think what's-his-face is now a champion at NWA. Tyrus. He's Tyrus now.
Is he the champion in NWA now?
He's some kind of champion in NWA. I don't know which one, if he's the heavyweight champion or what. But I saw him touting a belt the other day. So.
Yeah.
Our best at Tyrus.
And, of course, Naomi's still going. There was word that, you know, they were trying to throw her in the bloodline or something. I think that was just a bunch of bullshit, frankly. I never saw them hint at anything like that. But you never know. Sometimes these guys hint at something, and then they just drop it all together, so who the fuck knows. But happy birthday, Naomi. 1987, guys. That makes her, what, 30-something?
34
years old. Then we don't have a couple of birthdays for a few days. Wolfgang on December 3rd. Wolfgang. Victor on December 4th. That guy with the, spells it with a K. He was on WWE recently with some other guy. Maybe Jafar or Akbar or something. They were like some big dudes. They had paint on their faces. Bunch of fucking jobbers.
Damn.
Miss Tessmacher, also on December 4th. Larry Zbysko, December 5th. And Dynamite Kid, December 5th. Christian, sing them out, my friend, with the birthday theme.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You old fat pieces of shit, it's fuck you and many more.
Wow. Well, all right. Normally we take a break right here, but yeah. Right now, fuck the break. Let's get through a little bit of news. We wanted to talk about a little bit of news going on.
Okay.
First of all, with the whole Seth Rollins thing last week, great job, guys, on announcing the whole thing. I had no idea what was going on with that guy.
Yeah.
So you guys brought it to my attention when I listened to the show.
Yeah.
The following day or whatever. And, man, that guy, I mean, he was cutting promos. He did it for the Bloodline. Then he did it for Finn Balor. And I mean, I think he did it for himself. But, you know, I don't know. I saw that Alexa Bliss put out a statement telling fans to watch out. And more importantly, what I saw also was, you know, something that we could talk about. I wanted to touch on this catfishing shit. I saw a video with Seth Rollins where he was talking about how, you know, a chick showed up at not once but twice. I mean, who the fuck does this shit?
Stalkers. That's what does this shit. Stalkers.
Who the fuck falls for this shit? That, you know, oh, I'm talking to the guy. I'm really talking to him, you know. Come on, out of all the fucking millions and millions of fucking people in the world, and you're actually the one talking to him on fucking social media, really? He's never called you or anything? So they video called him?
Have you not heard of verified accounts before? Have you not heard the term of that before?
Right? I mean, what the fuck? I don't. Are these people so desperate that they want to fucking believe it's, you know, Seth Rollins on the other end of the line? Holy shit!
It works on people, dude. All these fucking dumb scams just work on people, and it's because it's people like the guy that, you know, people with mental illness and stuff, people that can't grasp reality.
Man, that guy, I ended up feeling sorry for him.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day,
don't feel sorry for him, dude. He literally bought a ticket, assaulted somebody, and saying that he worked for
right?
the fucking company. Don't feel sorry for this guy, okay? Fuck him.
It was insane. The whole thing was fucking insane. And I can't wait to see what becomes of this.
Nothing.
You know,
like,
we'll see what he's going to get a fine. I'm going to say it's a fine.
He's going to get a fine. He's probably going to
$250 fine or some shit. Maybe probation. Maybe. He might have to take some classes or some shit.
Let's be honest. He's going to be forgotten about. They already forgot about the guy who attacked Bret Hart, so they're just going to forget about this.
Yeah, Jax, who... You know, I still can't believe she's gone, man.
Yeah, she's never going to wrestle again.
And then she's never going to wrestle, just breaking my heart.
She wasn't meant for the wrestling business, bro. You was awful.
Bro, I'm
she
being facetious here, bro.
She kept hurting people.
But let me tell you, man, she's coming out with an interview, already teasing it. That she's gonna do a podcast with, and by the way, I'm really hurt that, you know, right away she jumped on with Renee and them. What about us? We're the ones that have supported her the most.
Who are?
She's just gonna turn on us like that?
I never supported her. I never liked her in NXT, and I didn't like her in the main event, the main roster. I never liked her, dude. She was horrible. She was horrible. Out of all the Samoan family wrestlers, right, she has got to be the worst one in the list. She can't cut a promo. Naya, she can't cut a promo. She can't wrestle. She kept injuring a lot of people. She had bad attitude problems. She was a nightmare, bro.
She had something.
She had the look of dominance.
There was like enough for them to, and I don't think it was just the family ties. Like, I think she had enough of something where they were like, we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep trying, Naya. We need you to pull it off this time.
And eventually, you know, she needed a break. She was going through a lot of things at home. And this is something that I wanted to touch on, too. You know, she had a lot of things going on, you know, her mental health and stuff, and so she needed a break. She got granted the break, and then they called her, you know, it's time to come back. But, you know, she still needed a little bit more time, she said. So are we at this point where, you know, if someone claims that they need a break for mental health purposes, where we just have to accept them being away from work, regardless of how much we need them at work? Otherwise, we're risking being, you know, called out and canceled and shit.
I mean, first off, she should have known that they were going to fire her, because if you thought you were the exception, they fired Bray Wyatt with the same shit. So if you thought you were an exception to this, you're dead wrong, all right? If you knew Bray Wyatt was going to get fired because of the same shit, why did you not expect you would have gotten fired?
Man, that's a damn good point. Provided that Bray Wyatt got fired for that. But, I mean, you know, a lot of states are at-will states. Like, you can get fired for anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's just the way it is. But apparently she's going to come out. Kevin, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's where we're at? I mean...
Yeah, I think he's got it. I think Christian's got a good point. Like, if that's the same thing, yeah, I mean, that is what... But with the Bray Wyatt thing, but no, I mean, she needed to be let go, dude. If they're going to let go the people that can't get it. Don't let go the people that are obviously made for it, that you could have huge stars in. You know, I feel like it's just she was an investment that didn't pay off. And there's other wrestlers where they didn't spend as much time and resources trying to make them work. They gave her a long time and a lot of development and a lot of pushes. And she just couldn't get it right.
She failed in every aspect. She failed as a women's world champion. She failed as a women's tag champion. That was the worst tag title run ever. I couldn't stand her and Shayna together. And it didn't help Shayna, because Shayna's back to where she started, being a nobody. She's back to another tag team with somebody, with Natalya.
Yeah.
I know. I'm saying they should. I'm thinking they should use Natalya as a as like the leader of a gang.
Yeah.
She's already in the twilight. You know. Yeah. They've done whatever they can do with her. Put her in that managerial role starting now. Fuck it. They could get another 15 years out of her as a manager. Get her a badass coach. I mean, I saw that she's doing some managing now out there. Like, it looks like she's playing a manager-type role in some situations. And I just think that, like, they should go all in on that. She could be, like, the leader of a gang and shit where she doesn't have to fucking even jump in the ring. And only have her jump in the ring, you know, like, here and there and shit.
Here's the problem with that, Minister. Here's the problem with that. She's fucking boring. She's not.
Well, God damn it, Christian. I'm trying to find something for her.
Yeah,
I mean, are you basically going to release her,
like,
too?
Natty cutting a promo is super boring. Like, she's not very good at promos either. She just sounds like a...
She's not boring. I mean, think about this. If they do form a stable with her as the leader, the other members are going to get fucking more over than her because they have more charisma than her. So that's a failure right there.
You make a damn good argument and a good point. I have to concede to that. That wouldn't work. Fuck. My idea is doomed. My idea is fucking doomed. Fuck that idea then. Let's move on.
Well, they just they're starting to figure things out from what I watched the last week or so. Like, it is mayhem and it's like shitty. It's definitely like the worst era of WWE ever. But like right now, like, I don't know, they go up and down every week. And one week it might be good or they might have some good shit. Like this week I thought SmackDown was pretty fucking decent. And then again, everything pretty much involving the women was like, I hated it. And honestly, the women's division has always been one of my favorite ones, and it just fucking sucks right now. That's why I love Britt Baker so much in AEW, but she's starting to get boring too. Like, I'm ready for something new over there too. So I don't know. I just feel like they can't focus on everything all at the same time. So these chicks are the ones that are getting lost by the wayside.
Let's go ahead and jump into this break, and we'll get to that on the other side. As, I heard you guys talking about this last week about SmackDown, and I have to disagree with a lot of what Christian said on some of that SmackDown. Some of it was quite funny, and I think I have the reasons why I think it was funny.
I don't remember. I
will share that with you guys on the other side of this break coming up, we'll do that after this break, so stay where you're at. Peace.
The wonder of the world is gone, and know for sure.
Again, take two. Minister of Sinister here with a public service announcement. Reminding you, if you go out and drink during this holiday season, take an Uber, catch a cab, ask for a ride from a friend, have your father pick you up, your brother, your mother, but don't drink and drive. How about that? The mall is here, Beta Force Radio, wishing you a safe and happy Merry Christmas. From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal Four-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Last week's SmackDown was the lowest rating again, 1.7. So yeah. That's where we at right now, huh? That's where we at right now in the era, huh?
In the
not even your fucking tribal chief is raising the ratings no more, motherfucker.
And
there you go. There you fucking go.
Christian from Philly. Only the Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Minister of Sinister, sitting here with Peacemaker Kevier West and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Welcome back, guys. How about that riff, huh?
What's up?
That was amazing shit.
Yeah.
Anybody know who that is?
No, what is that?
Is that the Bludgeon Brothers?
It very well could be, but I have it here as WCW Dustin Rhodes.
Oh, that sucks. That's generic. That if you hear that and you put the name Dustin Rhodes, that does not match at all.
So that's what we have there. But welcome back, guys. Welcome back. And, you know, I thought I didn't want to do the WWE report, but if I don't do it, I feel like, man, I'd be cheating myself, because it was some good shit. Let's talk about it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami, Christian from Philly, with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you. The last week's Friday SmackDown and this week's Monday Night Raw was snooze fest. All right, let's begin with SmackDown. And the whole advertisement for last week's Friday was that there was going to be a 25-man battle royal, a Black Friday battle royal, to determine who would be the number one contender against Roman Reigns. Doesn't say when this match is going to happen. This could happen on a SmackDown or at the pay-per-view day one. But just before Caleb Braxton was going to explain the big news about Brock Lesnar's suspension, the boring chief comes out again. And people are getting sick and tired of this shit now. You could tell by the crowd they were not giving a fuck about this. The person who's getting heat is not Roman, it's fucking Heyman. Because Heyman, you know, knows how to talk and
he's
is
a creep?
Entertaining. What?
He's a creep.
Yeah, he's great. So,
he is great, but he was giving off so many creepy vibes in these segments. I loved it. He was just being, like, way too close and way too weird.
Yeah. So Roman, when Kayla was kicked out of the ring, Roman said the same fucking shit he always says every fucking week. He's the tribal chief. He's the one. He's the best. He buried the roster. He called Lesnar a loser. And then he hinted that he might leave for Hollywood in his promo, saying he's going to leave sooner rather than later. And to that I say, go ahead. Leave the fucking Hollywood. I don't care.
You're going to get your wish. And it is going to be sooner rather than later. I almost want to say that I read this in an interview where he actually said it. He'll still be back. He's going to be like another, like Rock, another Cena and shit, you know, where he's going to come back, you know, once a year. At the beginning, it'll be more frequent than, and then as he gets bigger in Hollywood, that's if he, you know, makes it big in Hollywood. But, you know, I mean, if Batista did it, I'm sure Ray would do it. He's not going to be out there doing comedies and sitcoms and shit like that, but, you know, he'd do something.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. They spent too much time building this fuck, and the moment he leaves, WWE will be fucked. But they have nobody, because of the way they booked him, they have nobody legit that looks like a star to take his place. They have no one, because he buried everybody. This is why it's a fucking disaster what they've done.
They'll just throw someone in the driver's seat and let them run with it, and, you know, and push them, and everything will be forgotten.
Who cares? The ending of this SmackDown was the Battle Royal. Drew McIntyre was not in it. He caused a fuss. He tried to kill people with his sword, and then he got escorted out by the security.
Is that what happened? I missed that part.
The winner of this fucking match made no sense whatsoever. Sami fucking Zayn. That's right. A heel is facing another heel for the title, you know? And of all fucking people, Sami fucking Zayn. We all know this is fucking pointless, because next week, I bet you 10-1, they're going to have their title match. Reigns absolutely destroys Sami, and then at the day one pay-per-view, it's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns again. And
well,
then
he said
again,
Brock Lesnar's going to be there this week.
Next week. Yeah, this week. This week. I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Sorry. I'm just saying it at their time frame back then, you know, speaking like
that.
So it's going to be Roman versus Lesnar again. At day one, again. And it's going to happen the same way, again. Superman punch, German suplex, punch, kick, F5, and then one fucking spear, and then possibly a DQ. That's the entirety of every fucking Roman and Lesnar match. It's all the same fucking shit. All right? It's not special. It's sickening. I don't give a fuck at this point. So, yeah, there's the SmackDown side of it. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I thought it was all right. It was good TV. Except for, you know, I mean, that part at the end where, you know, I knew some shit was going to happen. But it also feeds into the Sami Zayn storyline. Like, he can't even catch a fucking break. First, they take that other fucking match away from him. And now, this shit, again, Lesnar's coming back instead of him getting the match, that this time he fucking won it?
No, he's going to still have the match. He's still going to have the match. All I'm saying is fucking Roman's going to beat him then first, and then Lesnar's going to have his match.
But how the fuck is it Sami Zayn, and then he also did that shit on Raw?
I don't fucking know. I don't know.
Did he do some shit on Raw, too, with Austin Theory?
Yeah.
So we got Sami Zayn bouncing around from fucking brand to brand.
none of this matters, okay? The real story is none of this fucking matters because his contract's coming to an end anyway. So Sami Zayn does not fucking matter. He does not matter. That's the story.
You think he's going to AEW, dude?
Yeah, he's going to AEW or Impact. Either way.
Man, so Impact could get good here, man. I mean, Impact picking up the fucking crumbs, but the crumbs are good.
Yep, the crumbs are delicious. It is delicious. Up next, we go to...
I'm going to have to fucking start watching Impact again.
No, don't do it. It's a fucking chore. Don't do it. Don't fucking do it. I'm saving you the trouble. It's a fucking chore to watch.
All right.
The only things good in Impact are the pay-per-views. That's about it. So we go to Monday Night Raw last night. We start the show with Seth Rollins celebrating that, you know, he's just happy that he made a big announcement, which wasn't really a fucking big announcement. We already knew this, that he was going to face Big E at day one pay-per-view for the WWE title. I don't know why bother. We already knew this was happening. I don't know why. So then we go to Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins, and a fucking this match stunk. I'm sorry. This match had no heat. The fans could not give a fuck about this match. The fans were dead. By the way, this was Long Island, New York, by the way. So, yeah, the fans were dead, and they weren't even bothered. And then Seth Rollins beats Finn Balor in an anticlimactic curb stomp that came out of nowhere. Not even set up, not even build up. It was so anticlimactic, and he beats Finn Balor. Finn Balor is a fucking loser. That's the story right there.
Man,
what
you know I
thoughts?
Saw that, man. I can't help but fucking feel bad for Finn Balor, man. Holy shit. This guy can't win a match against Seth Rollins ever? I mean,
ever.
He caught a beating. He catches beating after beating. And then if that's not enough, he fucking loses clean in the ring and shit. Not once, but twice.
Yeah. He was whooping on Seth at the beginning of the match. He got in there and beat on Seth's ass at the beginning. But it didn't matter.
Yeah.
So another contract
that I got
expiring,
excited. That's
huh?
what I mean.
That,
it's like they keep playing with our emotions, like that kind of thing. I was like, oh, this is exciting. I was like, Seth Rollins maybe in the championship match is exciting. Like, but then as the show went on, Seth Rollins, I still don't give a shit about. And Balor just like is a joke. It's just a sick joke now.
Yeah, it's a cruel thing of jokes.
Two guys,
speaking of sick
two
jokes,
guys that
what
were
about
some of the best athletes in wrestling are just the biggest jobbers on the show now.
Speaking of sick jokes, what about fucking McMahon fucking whooping up on Theory and bullying on Theory all night?
This was fucking stupid, all right? Austin Theory and Visiting Man were just hanging out all day. I guess you could call this a push or not. I can't tell at this point. But I guess
we'll have to wait and see because, bro, we'll have to wait and see because, you know, sometimes they just pull the plug on shit like this.
Yeah.
I
mean, I don't think it's a fucking
push.
What if
they fire him right after he got slapped in the face by Vince McMahon?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, Vince pretty much buried – Vince McMahon, the owner of the company, pretty much buried the entire show. So that's nice. That's good. That's great, you know. That's great. So, yeah, we go to a bullshit contract signing with Becky Lynch – Becky Cringe and Liv Morgan. This promo fucking sucked.
Oh, man,
this
it was garbage.
Sucked. This is fucking garbage. Becky Lynch is fucking garbage. I am sorry. This heel run is a fucking disgrace.
No, man.
This
Becky
horrible.
Lynch is great. It's the other
no,
one
she's
that's garbage.
She's not good heel, dude. I'm tired of this. She's not good. Her lines are terrible. She's trying way too hard to be her husband in the fucking wardrobe department and shit. This is too cringe. Liv Morgan, you honestly believe
it did look like
Liv Morgan.
It did look like they made a jacket for Seth Rollins out of, leftover material from Becky's coat.
Do you honestly expect me to believe Liv Morgan, who's done nothing in her career but cry and cry and cry, every promo that she's done is going to beat Becky Lynch for the world title? Are you kidding me? You
no.
expect
it's
me
unbelievable.
To believe that?
That's exactly what I told Pucarillo. That's exactly what I told Pucarillo. It's unbelievable. I can't buy into it. Kevin,
no.
You buy into that shit?
What
no.
is it?
Are you buying in that Mandy, not Mandy Rose, but what's her name? The other one.
Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan can beat, you know,
no.
the man?
I had notes. I had notes for tonight earlier, and, like, one of the main notes that I had was that I, like, skipped all the women's content because, like I said, it's none of it's, like, I don't like any of it right now. So I kind of, like, I fast-forwarded. I started watching this segment, and I was just like, okay, no, I don't really care about Becky. I hate to sound so negative about it, but no, it's just I don't really care. That part's not cool to me. So I can enjoy wrestling more if I just watch the things that I think are cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, in this promo, they bring up the fact that Liv Morgan, because Becky has a big contract, that's the reason why her friends got fired. What? What does Becky Lynch... She wasn't even there at the time when your friends got fired. She was at home giving birth. How the fuck does that even make sense, storyline-wise, or even kayfabe, or even real life? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, man, it's for some heat, dude. It's for
but there
it's
is
for some...
no heat. The fans are not going to buy into that shit. If you said it was towards Charlotte, then it would be heat because it would be true. But not fucking Becky. Becky was busy giving birth. And then...
Yeah, I don't know.
And then, you know, they showed a clip of Becky crying after Survivor Series because of real personal shit. And I'm sorry, that's heel shit. Like, that, there's completely differences between crying and being a crybaby and crying for some personal shit. So that's a fail on Liv Morgan's part. She came off like a fucking heel. That's terrible. That she came off more of a fucking heel than the heel Becky Lynch in that fucking segment. So then this all leads up to a pointless 10 women tag match. I don't understand
yeah.
what was the point of this? Like,
yeah,
what does the team members gain from this? Do they get future title shots for this? What is the incentive for this fucking match? Why are they doing
this? It's fucking filler. It's time filler. Because they got 3 hours of fucking shit of TV to fucking come up with. And this is what they got.
You know what else is not impressive, right? Liv Morgan defeats Team Bex. Her team wins. But Liv Morgan didn't even pin Becky to win the fucking match. She pinned fucking Tamina. That doesn't prove anything. You just defeated the weakest member in the fucking team. That doesn't mean you're better than the champion. So she looks terrible.
She'll never win. It's just someone they're feeding to the man.
Yeah, so we get to the segment on Raw that, you know.
It's going to be when Alexa Bliss comes back, they're either going to put her against the man or against Charlotte. And it's going to be babyface mm-hmm. Alexa, and that's why they're building both of those women up the way they are. Because they're going to have babyface Alexa come in and take one of them down.
Yeah. So
we go to
this fucking terrible promo of Adam Copeland returning. Edge makes his triumphant return for a month.
Nah.
And the crowd barely popped. The crowd doesn't give a shit at this point on this show. There were barely any people on this fucking show. You could see empty seats in the fucking attendance. There was barely anybody on this fucking show. So then out comes the fucking Miz, right? Again, nobody gave a fuck about this guy coming back either. The crowd was silent. They did not give a fuck about The Miz. They couldn't give two shits about the fucking Miz. And you know why they did this fucking segment? Because CM Punk and MJF did a segment promo last fucking week, and because CM Punk mentioned Miz's name at the fucking show, they did this fucking segment because they thought this fucking promo segment was going to counteract MJF and CM Punk. Spoiler alert, it fucking didn't. It was terrible. Nobody gave a fuck about this promo. And you honestly want me to invest in a fucking match against Miz versus fucking Edge? Are you kidding me? We went from Edge versus Seth Rollins to Edge versus fucking Miz? Are you kidding me?
I mean, I thought it was a decent promo, you know. I don't know about the underlying facts of, you know, them mentioning whatever the fuck they mentioned or whatever the hell. I mean, you know, whatever that – I don't give a shit about that. But what I see happening is, I mean, this – I think this promo was going to happen whether they were mentioned or not on AEW.
No.
Because I think
no,
that they've been planning to do this. They're going to do a gender tag match at WrestleMania. And it's going to be Edge and his wife versus Miz and his wife. And this is the setup. They're starting to build that. And I think it's coincidental that, you know, it was meant that those characters were mentioned on AEW the week before.
Well, that would suck because they already did this shit with John Cena and Nikki Bella, and nobody liked that fucking match. So,
well, I mean, guess what? They're going to have another match that nobody's going to like. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the Glamazon and Edge versus, you watch, next week, What's-Her-Face will get in on the game, and she'll say a word or two. And, this is the beginning of the build. So I believe that, you know, it was coincidental that they spoke about, you know, in that promo with MJF, which, by the way, was a great fucking promo.
Yeah. So, Caviar, what are your thoughts about this Miz Edge bullshit?
Yeah. I was excited to see the Miz come back, and then I just quickly realized that Edge is going to go over in this, and then I felt myself like not being so excited about it anymore. And I'd be really surprised if Miz comes out on top. And if they pushed him right, but really, like, I want them to, like, if I got what I wanted with Miz, it would be another good babyface run where he drops all the dumb stuff and is just like a good babyface fighting for some good cause or something. But we're not going to get that for a long time, if ever again. He's just a good heel that they're going to use as this shitty heel forever, and it seems really predictable to me.
Another match he's gonna lose at WrestleMania.
Yeah. No, like, he's still the same fucking character. Like, come on, man. You had like a few months to try to reinvent yourself. You're still wearing the same attire.
I was thinking that too, like, even just the way he was talking, whenever I was watching it, I was thinking about when Jericho came back and he was doing like this low cerebral kind of scary Jericho. If Miz came back and was, like, still dressed like that and did all the shit and just talked slower and, like, more seriously, it would be cool. I'd be cool with that. Just something small.
Right.
Change something small about your character. And you're right.
Yeah,
he didn't change anything.
I tell you what, man. I wouldn't be opposed to, you know, Biker Miz. He shows
Hell
up
yeah.
on a fucking Harley.
Yeah, do something.
Fucking grease hair back and shit, fucking in a Harley with some boots and shit, getting off his bike all badass with his chick back there, beating up on people and then leaving on his bike.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So, I think that they're trying to make him ham it up with his Miz character because, I mean, the Miz is relevant right now, even if, like,
Hollywood.
Don't fix it if it ain't broke. It's like they're talking about the Miz on AEW in a different context, and we'll get to that later. But they've talked about the Miz on AEW. They're talking about the Miz on TV, on other shows, and he's all over the place. And he's so don't change him yet, you know? That's probably their mentality.
I mean, he's done several Christmas movies and shit like that. You know, so,
just Dancing with the Stars is a big thing. Even if it's dumb and we don't watch it or whatever, I mean, it's a big deal for any of them guys to be on it.
Yeah, which, by the way, he got on our asses last night. He got on our asses for not voting.
Ball fuck himself.
Damn.
I mean, you know, I don't watch that shit. So why would I even bother to pick up the phone and vote just because he's in it? I mean, I don't know.
I should be really excited about this feud because Miz and Edge are probably some of my favorite wrestlers. Miz is definitely up there on my list of favorite wrestlers. But yeah, it's time for a change.
Yeah.
And maybe Maryse is the change, too. Like, I'm glad to see her back. So maybe it'll be cool. Maybe we'll get something more in the next few days.
No.
But maybe not. Probably not WWE.
I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. But anyway.
Yeah.
We go next to the teasing of the breakup between AJ Styles and Omos. With the Street Profits versus the Alpha Academy again. You know, AJ pretended to be fucking blind. And
man, that was some
good
shit.
He basically
AJ
lied to
Omos. AJ pretending to be blind was funny.
To me,
I found that very, you know, it was funny. I found it funny.
Yeah.
It's
funny in a bad way.
I like it.
So,
I like that kind
yeah.
of funny. But anyway, the ending part with Omos and shit and the whole that shit, it lasted way too long and it was shitty.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, if they are planning to do Omos versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania, that's gonna be fucking garbage. Okay, that's gonna be fucking garbage. All right, are they gonna turn Omos into a babyface then? That's completely ass backwards writing. Since he's a fucking giant, I would think you would turn AJ fucking face. Because let's be fucking real right now. I hate AJ Styles' heel run. It's fucking trash. I don't know why he's still a fucking heel at this point. His promos have gotten bad since turning heel. Like, I don't get it. Like, I just don't get it. Like, why is he still a heel at this point? Like, awful. Just awful. Turn him face.
I'm going to tell you why. Because they're committed to this fucking Omos for whatever fucking reason. And it's horrible. I mean, he's worse than fucking Braun Strowman was back in the day. And
Undertaker
fucking Ryback and shit.
Undertaker himself said, like, Omos is, like, our own version of Andre the Giant or some other shit. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking going C now?
Let's not pretend like fucking Andre the Giant was a fucking ring general or anything. Come on.
Are you fucking kidding me? You're almost comparing this guy to fucking Andre? Are you going C now?
Yeah.
So we go to the Damian Priest versus Apollo Crews for the U.S. title match. Fans do not give a fuck about this match, and Apollo lose. You guessed it, he lost again. He's right back where he started, everybody. No matter if you turn this guy face or heel, at the end of the result, he'll always be a loser because he lost again.
You know what I like about Apollo Crews? I got to say, I dig this animation entrance and shit. They got the fucking lions and the lion, and he comes out in between these fucking lion cartoons, and then they start roaring and lighting up and shit. And then as if that wasn't enough, he's walking to the ring. And then they got these big giant, what look like fucking big giant matchsticks or some shit. And then they fucking tilt and they meet in the middle. And like, it's just something to see, man. You got to check out his fucking cartoon entrance that they're doing.
Also, this thing with Damian Priest of him snapping randomly towards the fucking match, it's fucking stupid. It was cool at first. But
it was never cool, man. They're doing some kind of Dr. Jekyll shit. Some kind of Dr. Jekyll Hyde shit.
Yeah, no, it's not cool. You were right. You're right. It's fucking trash. The guy is fucking boring. Damian Priest is fucking boring, bro.
He doesn't.
No matter
cool.
what they do for this guy, he's fucking boring.
And he's terrible.
Like, if this is their tease of him turning heel or some shit, this is fucking terrible. He's horrible.
Bros, I usually disagree with you guys on shit like this, man, like Baron Corbin and shit like that, but, man, I gotta agree with this, man. This guy fucking sucks, man. I can't get into him. Nothing he does is fucking exciting. I mean, he's
his
a fucking... just a, and they keep continue to push him.
Yeah.
With
I don't know why.
His
fucking
TV time and shit. And it's like, what the fuck? There's gotta be somebody better.
What were you saying, Kevier?
No, I just, yeah, I don't know why. I mean, he's still new, so that's the only reason he's still. Where's he going to be in a year? Let's see. I think I've said different back and forth things. Like, they're trying their damnedest to push this guy to be like a future world heavyweight champion. He probably will be. He might be. I don't know how long it'll take. It's weird.
Well, dude,
because, like I said, I'm just mad because there's other guys that should have had it.
His wrestling is not that good either. Like, he's too slow. That move that he does with the middle rope, I always think he's doing the fucking disaster kick like Cody does. But he just fucking falls and does like a fucking leg drop midair shit. It looks fucking terrible.
Right.
Get off my TV screen. Another thing on this is fucking Veer. These fucking Veer promos, these vignettes.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking vignette. What if this fucking guy gonna show up? It's not like, it makes it seem like we never saw this guy before. We saw him with Jinder already, like with the feud with McIntyre. Like, why
right.
are you playing the same fucking vignette for a whole month? Fuck.
And what's he going to do when he gets here? They're going to push him really hard?
Horrible. And then they show another vignette afterwards about fucking Bobby Lashley. I'm like, we already know who the fuck Bobby Lashley is. He was the world champion at one point. Like, why are you showing these vignettes about Bobby Lashley again?
That was a pretty cool Bobby Lashley vignette, though. I like that vignette.
I know, but fuck, why are you showing this? Like, we know who he is.
Yeah.
Then we had Rey Mysterio and Dominic Reserve versus the Hurt Business, Cedric and Shelton, which to this day, they still, kayfabe, never explained why they joined back with Bobby Lashley and MVP. To this fucking day. Never. To
who
this day.
Who?
Cedric and Shelton.
Oh, yeah.
They never explained kayfabe to this day, right now, as we speak, still, why they're back with Bobby Lashley and MVP. They never had a segment, not a promo, not even on Twitter explained why they're back with them.
They just pretend like it never happened.
Awful. So we go... Vince McMahon slaps Austin Theory, pretty much burying him, you know, making him look like a bitch. Like, what is this for? Like, what is it? And then we got RK-Bro versus Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. I don't know how Rob the Dirty Dogs are having a tag title match when they've been losing singles matches against these two teams. For fucking 2 weeks now. It was a good match. Don't get me wrong. But why did this need to happen? Why? There's no point. Matt Riddle's getting fucking boring. He's not funny. And Randy
no, man, that's
just
fucking
Randy.
Funny. Come stop it. That Matt Riddle shit is funny, dude. last week they had me in stitches with that shit where he was dressed like fucking Orton, had the fake beard and the mustache and shit like Orton. I found that very entertaining. I mean, you know, maybe you need to chill out, smoke a dude. I don't know. It's very entertaining, dude. It's fucking funny.
There's only a couple of things on Raw. Like, SmackDown's way better than Raw right now, for sure. Like, everything on SmackDown is more interesting than what's on Raw. And there's only a handful of things like on Raw. There's two or three things that are good. And I think RK-Bro is maybe one of them. But still, it doesn't feel like high profile. Like, none of the titles feel like they mean shit. I don't give a shit about the titles.
Oh, no, Big E. Oh, no, man. That's a terrible title run, dude.
Well, we're going to get there right now. We're going to get there right now.
All right.
So,
sorry, bro.
we got the main event. By the way, throughout the entire night to the build-up of this main event, Seth Rollins gets confronted by Kevin Owens, who lies and said that Adam Pearce said that if he beats Big E, he gets added to be in a triple threat match. So Seth doesn't believe him. He goes to Adam. Adam confirms that Kevin was fucking lying. And then he goes back to Kevin. Kevin says he did talk to Adam, and he did say he was telling the truth. Then Seth goes back to Adam. Adam changes his fucking mind and says that he likes the fucking idea, so he makes the match the stipulation. What is this fucking... What is this? Blue's Clues? What is this shit? Kindergarten? I'm lying. He's lying. Whatever. Liar. You watch a fucking grown man say to another grown man, liar, pants on fire? Seth Rollins literally said that on TV to Kevin Owens, and I'm like, what are you, fucking 5 years old? What is this shit?
He's the visionary. The revolutionary.
He's not the visionary. He's not called that no more.
The revolutionary.
He doesn't say those things no more. He's just Seth
the
Rollins.
The luminary. Seth freaking Rollins.
Awful. So we go to the fucking match. It's a basic match. Nobody cares about it. It's a good match. But here's the stupid ending. That ruins
Wait a minute.
It, right?
What match?
So
what match is this?
The main event, Kevin Owens versus Big E.
Oh, yeah.
So this is where it goes to fucking shambles, right? This storyline. Kevin Owens attacks Seth Rollins, sends Seth Rollins smash and attacks Kevin. Kevin gets the DQ win, and then Seth Rollins beats the shit out of Big E, the champion. And then now Kevin Owens, because he got the DQ win, is added to this triple threat match, which wasn't supposed to happen. So let me get this straight, right? This storyline is a fucking mess. It's a mess since Big E became champion. Speaking of Big E, let's start with him first. He's a fucking terrible champion. I don't care what anybody fucking says. He's worse than fucking Kofi at this point. The guy keeps getting his ass handed to him every fucking week. He literally got his ass beat and destroyed last night by a curb stomp. He's a fucking afterthought. The real story in this storyline is a story between Kevin and Seth again. Because throughout the entire 3-hour show, Big D didn't make a fucking appearance until the last few minutes of the show, the final minute of the 3rd hour, and he's the world champion. So everybody looks fucking terrible in this story because, one, isn't Kevin supposed to be a fucking heel? Why is he antagonizing another fucking heel? In fact, if he's a heel, why did he fucking screw over a team of heels on Raw and Survivor Series? And why is he getting fucking rewarded a title shot for it? Shouldn't he have been fucking reprimanded for that?
They
I don't
had
know.
Blurred,
right.
Blurred those Log. Lines so much to where, you know, none of the heel babyface shit even matters anymore on WWE.
So
look at Charlotte doing all her babyface fucking moonsaults and shit. And awesome. I mean, so yeah, this is WWE in 2021.
So this match in this story makes everyone look fucking terrible. Kevin looks fucking terrible because he can't fucking beat anybody. He has to win by a fucking DQ. Seth, the challenger, the number one contender, looks fucking stupid because he let his anger get the best of him and he fucking attacked Kevin Owens. He looks like an idiot. And Big E, who gets his ass handed to him the entire fucking match, the world champion, doesn't appear in the entire show until the last few minutes, gets beaten to a bloody pulp, and then gets his ass handed to him again after the match, and he loses by a fucking DQ. How does anybody in this fucking storyline look fucking good? Especially the world fucking champion. Big E is the worst booked champions in the New Day ever. Kofi was bad, but he was never this fucking terrible. Big E doesn't look like he's a real fucking world champion. He looks like a fucking afterthought in this. And he's terrible. It's terrible.
No, I agree. He is an afterthought.
Wow. It doesn't matter. The title doesn't matter. Like Kevin said earlier, and then the other title is held by, you know, Damian Priest, who right now has this Jekyll and Hyde shit going on that, I mean, makes no sense. It's fucked up, man.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So what else?
So what now?
They showed. We talked about the promos for Xia Li.
Xia Li.
Xia Li. They showed promos. I don't know if it was SmackDown or Raw, but like they have these.
She's gonna be an avenging babyface that hates bullies or some shit. How much you want to make
a
bet?
Like
they do babyface
thing.
Yeah. How much you want to make a bet? They do these babyface vignettes, but when she debuts, she's a fucking heel.
Yeah.
Right? They do that kind of shit.
I mean, fuck Xia Li, right?
And then Sheamus has his little buddy, right? Did you talk about that little guy? What's that guy's name that's been running with Sheamus now?
Yeah, Rich Holland. Rich Holland is a fucking joke. He was a goon. He was a goon in NXT for Pete Dunne, and now he's a goon to Sheamus. His first match in the main roster, and he already lost to fucking Cesaro by a roll-up.
He's like a madcap moss.
He's
kind of built like Mojo Rawley, just not goofy. He's got like a, I don't know, he's like built like a football player. He's a hoss, but I mean, what's it going to be worth if he loses?
Mm.
What else? Oh, yeah, Naomi and Sasha Banks won the tag match, you know, with the whole Sonya Deville shit. This Sonya Deville storyline is getting fucking boring. Sonya's fucking boring. She's not even that good of a fucking heel, to be honest. The fact that they turned Adam Pearce heel makes no sense. What, because of one fucking F5, he turns into a fucking heel? Wow, I didn't think the F5 were able to turn people faces
That's
for heels.
That's how much on board they are with this fucking Brock Lesnar babyface run. This is all for this alleged babyface run of, Brock Lesnar. Of course, ultimately it's for Roman Reigns.
Also, the entire night,
the
right? Also, the entire build-up of the SmackDown show was the fact that if Caleb Braxton didn't find an exclusive and reliable source of Brock Lesnar's suspension, she would get fired. Paul Heyman said this, and I'm like, who the fuck are you? Yeah. You're not fucking in charge. What authority? How the fuck would you get her fired? You're not in charge.
That's and why everybody's been getting laid off. Right? Paul's just been firing everybody.
Yeah, and then I'm confused. Like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Adam Pearce didn't fucking lift the suspension. Even he doesn't know that the suspension, it was rumors. Like, how the fuck does he not know? Isn't he fucking a WWE official? Who fucking made the rule then?
Well, who the fuck made the call? And why are they calling Caleb fucking Braxton?
Yeah, what the fuck? Like, isn't he in charge of both SmackDown and Raw? He's the one who suspended him. What the fuck?
Oh, shit.
Awful.
Are we going to get to shit on AEW now?
Yeah, we're gonna. I want to talk about Cody Rhodes.
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly.
All right, so Cody Rhodes, he got booed again, but it's getting worse now. He's getting the John Cena ECW treatment now. If you recall, some time ago, this last week in Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving edition of AEW, Cody Rhodes threw his attire belt in the crowd, you know, like a merch thing, you know. The crowd threw it right back at him.
Oh,
they said they threw it right back at him.
I love that.
Was this on television, bro?
This was on television, yes.
Oh, fuck.
It's getting worse, and I'm saying to myself, what the fuck did he do? That was so bad to get him this fucking hated. Like, he's the only one.
It's his TV show, bro. Nobody wants to see any of that shit. Yeah, all the shit on TV that they put on that fucking show.
No, they only hate Cody like this bad. Like, the reason why they hate MJF is because he's a great heel. But with fucking Cody, like, he doesn't fucking get it. He's too cookie cutter babyface. Like, does he think this is a fucking 80s? Like, he's generally doing a face roll like it's the fucking 80s. It's terrible.
I think it's a slow burn heel turn.
The 80s character gets over with me. Like, I think that's awesome. Like, the whole fucking Dolph Lundgren looking fucking 80s hero shit. Like,
I can't stand it.
We worked with him as a heel too. Like, I like everything about his look and his moveset and all that stuff. And I think he cuts a good promo. I believe in his character. I don't know. But everybody obviously doesn't feel that way. Overall, the crowd at AEW hates it. So
they hate him everywhere he goes. No matter where he goes, he's hated. Even when his fucking music starts, they hate it. Because it's too... Even his theme song pisses people off. It's a great theme song, but it's too fucking long. His entrance is too long. It takes like a minute before the music actually starts. It's terrible. And they boo the shit out of it. They hate everything he does, man.
Not everybody has as good of music as the Tribal Chief.
I don't know why. I still don't know why. Because, I mean, I feel like he's good still. I don't know what's to hate. But maybe they're just tired of it. And it takes too long. Like you said, it's just boring. It's not fresh.
Yeah, and plus, new dogs.
So there's like a fucking minute of this shit before the music starts?
Yeah, keep playing it.
And what's he doing here this time? Fucking just slowly walking out and shit? Is he selling it? Like, is he fucking walking out like a champion?
No, he's not walking out. It's still going.
Yeah, it's still going.
It just sounds like
we're at a minute and 3 seconds. Here we go.
Can you believe that?
A minute 15.
Too long.
It's like a minute 21 before the fucking heavy shit started.
Adrenaline in my soul. Every
fight out of control. Do it all to get them off the team. Oh, man.
That's horrible. No wonder they fucking blew it. It's too long.
Yeah.
And he's not slow walking either. He just stands in the fucking center.
He couldn't do like Jericho, man. Jericho was actually able to put his song over with the fans.
I can't. Roman Reigns' theme song doesn't last that fucking long. I think it's shorter.
So what else?
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? What's the answer then?
Oh, I don't fucking know at this point. He's never turning heel. He's very adamant about it.
He's adamant. He
needs a tag team partner. He needs somebody to help him get over with the crowd. He needs, like, a mismatched tag team partner.
You know who he needs, man? He needs that guy that used to be, we've talked about him on the show. He used to be with The Miz, and then they fired him because of John Cena.
Oh, Morrison. Or no,
no,
Alex Riley.
But that one...
You're talking about
that
Alex
one
Riley.
Was...
Yeah, he needs Alex Riley in AEW, man. To
Dude,
save
I loved Alex
Cody.
Riley.
But that wouldn't work either. That wouldn't work either because the other guy would get more over than him. They'll cheer the other guy than him.
They could tell a story. They could have Cody and Fuego del Sol, right? They could be a tag team. Didn't they already try that?
No, that's Sammy Guevara. He's friends with Sammy.
Yeah, but I thought Fuego was friends with Cody, too.
No.
Well, they got to do something to save this fuck. Let's see. His music's still going, guys. Let's check it out.
His brother is more over than him. His brother gets more cheers than him.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. It's bad.
Maybe they know exactly what they're doing. Maybe it's like a part of some long con and they know exactly what they're doing with it. No?
Maybe.
I'm saying it. It's a slow burn, heel burn.
Yeah.
Turn.
Maybe not. Up next in this report, Billy Gunn phoning it in. We're at the point where Billy Gunn is as bad as Big Sexy Kevin Nash when it comes to phoning it in. My God. Billy Gunn versus Darby Allin, man. What the fuck was that? Billy Gunn did fucking nothing. All he did was slow walked, did a few punches. If you look up the term,
I'm a madman.
Billy Gunn's name will be on the fucking, Billy Gunn's face will be in the fucking books. That was extreme phoning it in.
I didn't see this match, but I haven't seen him anywhere except for like Dark and Elevated or whatever. Like, I've only seen him on YouTube recently.
This was not in Dark, dude. This was in Dynamite, this match.
I know.
He's a fucking Dynamite.
Man, what the fuck are they doing with Billy Gunn on Dynamite? That's my
question. None, like, he's one of his sons, like, the Gunn Club. With his two sons.
Like, yeah, I mean, man. That's cool. That's got potential. Like, I'm all about the Gunn Club. They seem like a cool tag team. Like, because they have Billy Gunn, like, it's a family that's, like, a cool aesthetic. But no, should Billy be – I mean, Billy can go, but obviously you're saying he can't go as hard anymore. And Darby Allin's one of, like, the fastest, most intense guys on the roster. That's a recipe for disaster. A slow old
no,
guy.
No, like, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything in this match. He just walked around slowly, did punches and shit. He didn't do anything. He was phoning it in.
He should be in more of a Tully Blanchard type role. Some shit like that. He's going to be, you know, doing like that. I mean, why not just have him be like a manager for his sons? He doesn't have to be in the ring and shit. He's in his fucking 50s. And how old is that guy? He's got to be fucking almost 60.
Yeah.
You know what?
He's got no business in the fucking ring.
AEW has all these three-man groups, like these three-man tag teams and shit. Like, so I wonder if they're like, it's easier to have a group of like three or four guys than like just a tag team of two guys.
Another news, Bryan Danielson is still a heel. You know, he turned heel 2 weeks ago when he interrupted Adam Page's celebration. This heel turn came out of nowhere, to be honest. I wasn't expecting him to turn heel this fast. I mean, how long has he been in AEW and already he turned heel?
Yeah, it's like a month and a half.
That's
2 months, maybe.
That's weird. That is so fucking weird.
Like, I think it's his natural desire to want to play a heel. I think he, you know, he doesn't want the people. He's the anti-guy, like deep inside. Like, he doesn't want people to like him.
Yeah,
he doesn't want the adoration and shit from the fans.
He's good at beating
the
shit out of people. He's good at
He
like
wants
being
to
really
put that on
right
other
now.
Talent. Yeah, absolutely. He wants to put that adoration on other talent and shit. And so, I mean, I think it's brilliant. Hey, plus, he's a good heel. He's a great fucking heel.
He's just going to beat the shit out of all the guys in the Dark Order?
One by one.
He beat Evil Uno.
He's going to bury them all.
He beat Evil Uno. Yeah, beat Cole.
He
Katana.
Stole Triple H's shovel. They're going to start making memes of Daniel Bryan with a fucking shovel, you watch.
Yeah, right.
With a beard and shit, looking like Triple H.
Speaking of Triple H, you know, the CM Punk and MJF promo, they mentioned Triple H, and again, I don't know if this is teasing anything, but John Cena was second time to mention in AEW. The first time was with the match with Eddie Kingston and CM Punk when CM Punk did the five moves with Doom. The second time was with the MJF promo. They mentioned John Cena in that promo. So are they hinting that John Cena might show up in AEW? Because that's the second time they mentioned him. Two times in a row.
I don't think so. I mean, they're, you know,
Cena's
a legitimate something to talk about, you know?
Yeah, but he's like the first one that's been often mentioned a lot. Like, are they like teasing something? Because when they do Triple H, they only talk to him like once in a while. They don't rarely mention Triple H. But with John Cena recently, they've been teasing about him. Recently, a lot.
What do they call him, Mr. I can't, the I can't see you man?
Yeah.
Or the you can't see me man?
Yeah.
He's posted about AEW on his Instagram before, too.
Yeah, so, right? Could John Cena be in the works of, you know, being, you know, going to AEW for a little bit, you know, it wouldn't be too bad. You know, have him to handle with AEW stars, you know. I mean, let's be real here. Who in the WWE right now that's interested in him right now? Face.
Who?
Nobody.
Who what? Who in the WWE what?
Who in the WWE is John Cena really interested in to have, like, one match?
No,
right
there's
now?
Nobody worthy.
No.
I mean, Damian Priest? No.
No.
Baron Corbin? Sami Zayn? I mean, no. They're not going to do that. Like, there's nobody. They don't have that viable guy. They don't have maybe, and it's still too soon to tell, with the kid that Vince McMahon was slapping around, Austin Theory, it might be too soon to say no on him. But still, it would be not immediately.
Yes, but no. I have nobody.
Yeah.
There's nobody
like
interested.
Cena, like a NWO, like Hogan turned Cena in AEW would be so sick. But I'm sure people have been saying that since AEW is a thing. But if he showed up and was like, fuck all y'all, like and Eddie Kingston was like, I got somebody, like if Eddie Kingston was out in the ring, he's like, I got somebody who wants to talk to y'all. And then he fucking brought out John Cena. People would be like, what the fuck?
Oh,
and then they just
God,
like, hug.
Fucking Markel.
They just hug and they're a fucking tag team together.
And he's all Hollywood Cena and shit. Has
also,
a fucking
apparently,
painted beard and shit like Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Also, apparently I heard that The Rock is angry with WWE.
Is that right?
Yeah. Let me look up in the article right now.
That's like bad publicity for his movie?
Yeah,
no,
he
like
the juice.
You missed Red Notice. Red Notice. Let's see. Kid, it's your night. Let me run with the... Oh, never mind. Never mind. He's not angry. Some idiot made it up.
Nah.
Some idiot. But yeah, what else in AEW right now? What else? What else in AEW that's interesting? Britt Baker. Let's talk about Britt Baker. As much as I like Britt Baker, she's getting boring, like Kevier said. Her title reign is getting boring. I think they're going to end it soon. I just don't know who yet.
What are they going to end soon?
I think they're going to end it soon. I don't know. They're not going to have
what?
Her title reign.
Oh.
They're not going to have it too long, I would think, like. I would think, I don't know, the only person I could see ending her title reign would be Thunder Rosa. That's the only person I see right now that could end it. Because they've been teasing that feud forever now.
Yeah. I thought Ty Conti was going to be the one to take it. I don't know why. Because she seemed super popular at the time, too. But, yeah, Thunder Rosa probably makes the most sense.
The problem with Ty Conti is that she can't cut a promo. That's
yeah.
why. She's terrible.
I mean, you know, they should go and get Natalya to manage her.
Yeah.
I'm still with that Natalya managing shit.
There you go.
You know, throw her on AEW and she can manage chat. No, she can't. She can't talk either. Her fucking promos are terrible too. But what about Adam Cole and his booking? People complaining
like
about his booking.
No, he's not complaining. He's having fun.
No, not him.
I mean,
people on the internet complaining about his booking.
Well, fuck them. He just got there.
Yeah.
Their time. He just fucking got there.
Right now,
it's
you know,
get
he's
good,
just being used with them guys.
No, I think the Super Elite is cool. I think the Super Click is
I
cool.
I think it's funny, too. I think it's great.
It's going to get good when Kyle O'Reilly shows up, and then we're going to have this what if, like, who's going to be who's going to be in which group, who's going to be in which member. It's going to cause a power struggle.
Kyle O'Reilly is one of my favorite wrestlers, too. He's going to be sick. I say he's one of my favorites, but I like, stopped watching him after NXT got too bad. I, like, stopped watching him. I should have kept watching for him, but he got injured for a long time, too. But yeah, Kyle O'Reilly is sick. He's if you're not too familiar with him, go check him out. He's badass.
They had the lowest rating ever, the lowest amount of viewers on Rampage. Why do you think and they seem to be falling, like, steadily. Not all the time, not every week. Every now and again they have gains, but, like, they're trending down. What's up with that?
Well, it's because it's Friday. It's the weekend. It's the beginning of the weekend. No person's going to stay up at 10 o'clock to watch a show at night. They're mostly either going to go to sleep or go somewhere else. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I watch it, but I watch it on a delay. I don't watch it when it's live. Sometimes I watch it live, depending. I have in the past, but here lately I haven't. But, it is what it is. I think if they went live and went head-to-head with SmackDown and put their bigger stars on there, that they would win. If they decided to go that route. I think they would win against SmackDown.
SmackDown seems better right now. I think I'll still keep watching SmackDown.
I definitely agree. SmackDown is better than Raw. Fuck yeah. Raw's a fucking shit show, other than the Orton shit. It's funny. I find it funny. Christian doesn't like it, but I find it funny.
Yeah.
Well, boys.
We done, dudes? I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done, too.
Yeah.
That's all for today.
Chuck, take care of yourself for sure. Get to feeling better.
Yeah.
And
appreciate it.
And we'll see Albert when he's back. And I'm trying to think. There's not any pay-per-views or anything coming up, right? Next week, just a normal week.
No,
so
we have to wait until January. No pay-per-views on December.
Yeah. So, yeah,
we'll
go through day one. Well, all right, dude.
Yeah.
I'll close this out, then. I'll just close this all out right now. Fuck it.
Good night, motherfucker.
For Christian from Philly and for Peacemaker Kevier West, I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, and this has been Beta 4E Radio, and we will see you next time, motherfuckers. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.